Mirabile visu, wonders to behold. You see, good to see so many of you here today, right? That's Lord. Okay. I'm told that kings and queens can issue a command performance. And so Jesus the King said, let's bring as many as we can today. Amen. So bless God, bless God. Today in this great feast of Christ the King, we come to the end of a liturgical year. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of Advent. Whew. How did that happen, right? Yeah. But here we are, and this culminates the liturgical year, and every Sunday has the rank of a solemnity, but this is the final, if you will, solemn feast of this particular liturgical calendar. We worship our Lord as King of the universe, not just King of a province or King of this of a world, but King of the whole universe. Now, with that in mind, though, I would like to ask you and myself, you and me, a question. Is Christ really your King? You know, it's one thing for us to get up in church and say these things, and it's a good thing, first of all. Yeah. But the question is, you know, in all of our lives, is that when I walk out the church doors, is he still my King? Is he still someone who I revere? And kings have authority in our life, and kings speak to us, and we are to reply and obey. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to look at this gospel in four stages. We're sort of dropped here, excuse me, we're sort of dropped here into the middle of a trial. And some lines that took place before and some that are after are not listed here, but I'll try to include just a few of them. As the trial opens, we see the first, in Pontius Pilate, I want to focus a little on him because much of what he has to do, so do we. And the first step you see in this trial is that Pontius Pilate, there's an indecision, an indecisiveness about him. He's filled with all this indecision. What do I do about this Jesus? You know, the crowds, these Jewish leaders are asking for him to be crucified. Now that's the worst form of the death penalty. What has he done? He doesn't really see that Christ is a great threat. His conscience is telling him, have nothing to do with these cries to crucify him. His wife, according to Luke's gospel, came to him and said, have nothing to do with this innocent man. She said, I've had a dream about him, and I'm troubled. In other words, his wife is telling him, his conscience is speaking to him, and yet the crowd is demanding, at least the crowd of the Jewish leaders, crucify him, crucify him. We want him put to death. And Pilate is undecided. He's vacillating. He doesn't know what to do. Now, this is brilliantly portrayed by John in the gospel. And seven times in this gospel, it says either Pilate went out to talk to the Jewish leaders and came back to talk to Jesus. Seven times. In, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. It's a picture of vacillation, isn't it? What do they want? Well, let me talk to Jesus, see what, you know. Now, this guy's supposed to be the governor.
I'm the governor.
But governors have a lot to lose. So if I don't give way to the mob and go to mob rule, they might then create a riot. And that's one thing that Rome doesn't like. He doesn't like if the local governor is allowing a lot of chaos and rioting or mob activity going on. And so Pilate's saying, I'm in trouble here. I got a career. I'm trying to go places. I certainly want to get out of Palestine and go to someplace better. What'll happen to me if I do what I know my conscience is telling me? Jesus is innocent of these charges. What do I do? So out he goes, in he goes, out he goes, in he goes. He says, well, I'll tell you what, let's try to get him scourged. Maybe that'll satisfy them. Not enough. You've heard me say this before, that the world and the devil will never be satisfied until every last ounce of your integrity is removed. Compromise doesn't usually work. Okay. And so we see that even after having him horribly scourged, still they cry out, crucify him. So I just want to give you this picture of Pilate, who is he's locked in indecision. Now, for a lot of us, this is also our situation. What are we to do about Jesus, this radical message he preaches? What are we to do about him? Do we proclaim him? Do we try to extend his kingdom? Well, how will that affect our career? What will other people say about us? Will we be rejected by others? Will I have to suffer? What about me? I've got a family. I got bills to pay. What do? I think Jesus is King and Lord. But the cost of really living that is awfully high. What will I do? And so you see this indecision. In a way, and I'm just talking about all of us in general. I don't say this is true of everybody here. But I will just say that we love indecision. We love confusion. Well, you know, there's a lot of opinions out there. I mean, who's to say? What am I supposed to do? Oh, well, I guess I'll just have to see what's on TV tonight. And we just tune out. We just say, well, I mean, there's a lot of different opinions. Who's to say? I'll just kind of punt. Right? And that's how we can be. But you know what? You're free to decide, but you're not free not to decide. We ultimately have a decision to make about Jesus. So just to give you a picture of Pontius Pilate going in, going out, going out, going in, going out, finally going out for the last time. Now, we go from indecision to inquiry. And Pilate says to Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? It's interesting, Jesus is on trial. And yet he then turns the tables on Pilate and he says, well, are you saying this on your own or are you just repeating what others have said about me? Are you a king? Do you think I'm a king? Am I a king? You have to decide that, Pilate. Am I not just the king of the Jews, but am I your king? And so he turns the tables. Now Pilate's on trial, and so are you and I. So in other words, you know, we can come into a church and say, you know, Christ is king. We can shout and sing. We can sing crown him with many crowns. We can do all that, and that's good. The question is, sometimes I think we sing these hymns sort of in hope. More than, you know, we want him to be our king. But we all know we struggle and we fall short and too easily we do make compromises. It's one thing to compromise over what restaurant you'll go to or, you know, this is a very binary choice. He's either our king and he has authority in our life and he calls the shots or he's not. In the world or myself, they're the ruling authorities. And so again, this inquiry, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, do you say this on your own, or are you just repeating formulas you've heard from other people? It's an important question to ask, or to answer, isn't it? Are we just repeating what we read in the catechism, or heard in the Bible, or the pastor said, or my mother said? Or are we saying this on our own? You are my king, Jesus. Okay. So we see the inquiry. Now, by the way, I'm mindful, you know, of an old gospel song. haven't heard it for many years, but yes, I know Jesus for myself. Now, there has to come a point where we have to finally be able to say, the church says, my mother says, my pastor says, okay, and that's all good. That's the content of the faith. But we have to also finally come to the place where we can say, my mother says, my father says, my pastor says, the church says, the Bible says, and I say this, that Jesus Christ is King. So we've seen two stages. The first stage, again, is indecision. What do I do about Jesus? And we can just stay there in indecision. But hopefully, you'll enter into a discussion, the second stage, where you're asking questions and Jesus is questioning you. Are you a king? Are you my king? Do you say this, Jesus says, on your own, or is it just that others are telling you about me and you're repeating those things? Am I really your king? So that leads then to the third stage, which is indication. Pilate continues to question Jesus, and Jesus says, look, he says, my kingdom isn't of this world. If it were, my armies would be coming. You don't have to worry about me as a political threat. That's not what my kingdom is about. Here's what my kingdom is about. And the question still remains for you, Pilate. I came into this world to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me and listens to my voice. So this is the indication of whether or not he's really our king. I came into this world to testify to the truth, and everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Now, here too, again, we struggle, don't we? I think, you know, all of us are certainly aware that there are some things in our life that are not properly in accord with all the things the Lord would ask of us. Sometimes we struggle with prayer, we struggle with sexual matters, or we struggle with drinking, or we struggle with forgiveness, we struggle with family harmony, and we struggle with these things. But I will say this to you, that it's one thing to say, I'm struggling to live these things perfectly. That is, unfortunately, the human condition. That is why we have confessionals. But here's the real problem, where many people today have become just utterly defiant. I will not be told what to do. I will not be told what to think. I will not allow any dusty old Bible or some church to tell me how I should think, how I should act, or what I should do. Now, that's defiance. And I'm sad to say this is increasingly the situation in our world today. People just shake their fists and say, no, I will not be told. You can say, well, the Bible should not. Don't get your dusty Bible out of my bedroom. Get your dusty Bible out of my life. Don't you dare tell me what to do. And if you do, you're judging me or you hate me or, you know, you see the idea. This is where a lot of people are today. And that's what I'm more concerned about. It's one thing for us to sin. But please, I beg you, don't say Christ is your king and then go on calling good or no big deal what God calls sin. Jesus has spoken to us, not just in the Gospels, but through the epistles. He said to his apostles and evangelists, he who hears you is hearing me. He who listens to you is listening to me. He who rejects you is rejecting me. So we can't just be dismissive of things that are said in the Bible. Well, those were earlier times. We're more enlightened today. Or, you know, Paul was this or that. He was a misogynist. He was this or that. It's not Paul. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus speaking. The question is, he's come to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to his voice. And he's the king. And yes, we all fall short. We all fall short. But if you're going to fall short, at least call it what it is, sin. And then go and seek his mercy. And he says, no one who calls on me will I reject. If you're struggling, even if you're struggling mightily, still come to me. But let's reason together. Let me build a beachhead of grace and love and mercy in your heart, and I'll crowd these sins out eventually. You will be free. I don't know about you. I hope you are, but I'm a witness. There are sins and attitudes and things that were not of God in my heart for many years, and little by little, through confession, through communion, through listening to the Word of God, these things are gone. More yet is still to be done. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. It works. But stay in the conversation. And I beg you, do not go on just blithely dismissing what are clear biblical teachings. And we live in our days in a time of great sexual confusion, confusion about marriage. We live in our days where there's confusion about the sacredness and dignity of human life. We live in very unforgiving times, polemics and anger and wrath and bitterness and power struggles. These are not of God. And we can't go on just justifying them and saying, well, he's my king. And so again, if he's going to be my king, the indication is, I'll say it one more time, Jesus says, I came to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. This is his kingship, okay? So this then, for all of us, is that moment where we have to wrestle. You know, there were times in my life when I didn't understand some of the teachings of the Bible or some of the teachings of the church. I'll say now, you say, I'm on board with them. Say, you have to be, Father, you're a priest. I know. But I'm a disciple. I'm a man. I stand before God. And I will say that as I've asked and I've questioned, I've struggled, the Lord made it clear to me, and I'm grateful. And I pray that if any of you are struggling, whether it's just with sin, and at least you know it's sin, and thanks be to God, you know how to get to confession, or it really does come down to something, I just can't understand why God would say this. Whatever it is, go to him. But don't just shake your fist, whether literally or just allegorically, and say, I will not comply. If it doesn't make sense to me, to heck with it. No. We want Christ to be our king. Lord, you've said this to me. I don't understand it all. How do I apply it? But I do know this. You're my king. You're my creator. You're the lover of my soul. And you died for me. So help me, Lord, to understand. Okay, enough said on that. But you see, we've seen that there is this indecision. And some of us can stay there. Well, you know, there's a lot of opinions. And I've heard this and I've heard that. We can sit there and just vacillate and just sort of say, well, I don't have to make a decision because there's a lot of opinions out there. No, you do have to make a decision. Then there's the inquiry. Go talk to the Lord. Are you the king? Are you my king? Go talk to him. Okay. And then there is this indication whether he's really our king. And finally, there comes the implication. In this trial with Pilate, there's a very interesting thing at the end. I just want to read it to you right out of the passage. It wasn't in today's gospel. It came some lines later. But it says this. Pilate finally makes up his mind. He's going to give way to the crowds. He's going to give the mob what they want. And he goes out for the last time. It says, Pilate says here, and this is in John 19 and verse 12, Pilate sought to release Jesus, but the Jews just kept crying out, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar. As if worldly kings should be the standard. No. It goes on to finally say, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and he sat down on the judgment seat. In the place called the pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, it's interesting because there's an ambiguity in the text. It says, Pilate heard these words. He brought Jesus out, and he sat down on the judgment seat at the place called Gabbatha. Who sat on the judgment seat? Again, Pilate brought Jesus out, and he sat on the judgment seat. You see the ambiguity, right? And John, I'm sure, intends it. Now look, historically, Pilate sat on the judgment seat. But eschatologically, in other words, in the great creation, it's Christ who's seated on the judgment seat. The Father, Jesus says, the Father judges no man, but he has given all judgment over to the Son, that the world may fear and revere him. And so it is. Who's really on trial here? Pilate is. You are. I am. And so we have this ambiguity. And of course, we know what Pilate's judgment was. The question for you and me is, what is Christ's judgment of us? Well, I know as a fellow sinner with y'all, I mean, I don't mean to pick on you. I'm just talking about myself. Well, he's sort of a subject. I'm sort of his king. But I will say at least this in my defense. I'm not defiantly rejecting Christ. I may defy him sometimes in weakness. What he wants of me, I fall short of it. But I want to say, Lord Jesus, you are my king in this sense. I want what you want. And whatever truth you've proclaimed through your scriptures and in the teachings of the church, I want to be in conformity with that. And Lord, have mercy on me for the times that I'm not. But I won't call good or no big deal what you've called sin. So keep me faithful, Lord, to confession. Keep me faithful to the medicines of the Eucharist, confession, the Word of God, holy fellowship. Keep me faithful, Lord, until death. Now, I only say this about myself, but I pray that I'm saying something for you too. We all know we fall short. That's often in weakness. I beg you that it's not in defiance. Well, Jesus would never really have said something. Some people say that, you know, they talk like that. Look, the fake Jesus can't help you. Only the real one. Only the real king. Not the fake king, the real one. And so I simply beg you, as I must beg myself, work with the Lord. Pray with him. Talk with him. Acknowledge him. Have a holy, reverent fear. Hold him in wonder and awe and say, Lord, you've spoken a word, and I want my whole life to be based in it. And if it is, Lord, I think you will truly be my king. Get me there, Lord. Help me. Don't you know how merciful the Lord is? What king do you ever know that went up and mounted a cross for you? You're supposed to die for them, right? You're supposed to get in the army and go fight for them, right? Isn't that the way the world works? But the Lord is our king, and it's very different with him. He goes off and fights the battle for us. He dies, so we don't have to. And so this beautiful, magnificent, holy, and awesome king, he's Jesus. He's for us, not against us. And the only thing he can't deal with is a firm no, a defiant, I will not be told what to do. That's the only thing he can't forgive. Because those who talk like that don't think it's wrong and don't want it to be forgiven. You take one step and the Lord will take two and start running. This king, he's a glorious king, a wonderful king, a merciful king. Yes, a suffering king who suffered for us, who died for us. Jesus, the great king of the universe. Not like any worldly king. But rather this, a great heavenly king, God himself, who loves you more than you could ever imagine. Run to him, as I must. Go before him. Kneel before his cross. Say, Lord, please, I want to say yes if someone asks me, is Christ really your king? Amen.